You better come on in my kitchen. There's fun to be running out door.
Come over here, kid. Why so? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. It's and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful. You always want some more when it's Mouthful, don't you? Hi there, it's Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you've had a nice weekend. Sorry about that little power outage, but I'm really glad we're back on the air. I was actually driving here when the power went out. It went out on other stations as well. But here we are, and we have with us here in the studio Munther Masarwe, who currently has Branches, a restaurant, and I think also, if I have this right, a butcher shop and a bakery in Ukiah. Also has lots of experience at other Bay Area eateries. Welcome to Mouthful.
Michelle, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Okay, now you just had a power outage. Was it last night or a week ago?
A week ago Saturday. Uh-huh. We had the power go out for about 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh. And people, you were still able to conduct business.
The show must go on. We pushed through and fed all our guests and everyone left very happy.
You know, there have been a few times when I've been in restaurants when the power's gone out and I actually think it's kind of fun.
We actually do a little bit of training to kind of prepare for those type of things. Uh-huh. And I think the people really appreciate it when the power goes out and we can keep on serving.
Yeah.
And it just kind of a little candlelight dinner. It's uh-huh. a little bit different. The power's out, but we continue to serve. So it's a wonderful thing.
Cool. When did Branches open?
We opened up in November. So we just opened up mm-hmm. just a little over a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Where were you before?
I also own Wild Fox Restaurant
right,
in Nevada.
Right, that's what I thought, in Nevada.
And it's a very similar menu to Wild Fox. We're comfort American food, but mm-hmm. We do specialize in meat.
Now, why Ukiah?
Ukiah, you know, Ukiah is one of those hidden gems that mm-hmm. I think a lot of people drive up and down the coast and go up there wine tasting a lot and never really stop to realize what's around. And Ukiah is just, you know, it's in the heart of Mendocino Valley. There's a ton of wineries up there. It's mm-hmm. just a wonderful place to visit.
Now, there was a hotel with a restaurant. Maybe the Palace, some classic name like that, right on the main street on the corner there. The last time I drove through there, which, gosh, it's been a year or two, it was closed. It wasn't happening anymore. Is that place still
shuttered? I think it is closed now, but it has quite a history from what I understand.
Yeah, a great history. Yeah, some great times there.
A lot of people that come in says they used to go there all the time, and they're really sad that it's not there anymore.
Yeah, now in the 80s, they also had sort of behind the restaurant, but still on the bottom floor, they had a nightclub.
Oh,
where
wow.
bands played and they had, you know, had that historic feel and you could go to dinner, go dancing at the nightclub and well-known bands would play there and then spend the night upstairs. It was really great. I had some wonderful meals there in both the 70s and 80s. I really enjoyed it. It's really sad to see that it was closed.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people come to us and just say that Branches kind of reminds them a little bit of the Palace mm-hmm. in the sense that they could have a nice dining experience mm-hmm. and then be able to move over to, we have also an Irish sports bar attached to mm-hmm. the to the restaurant, and people are able to go in there after and enjoy sports and cocktails.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, maybe there's sort of a revival going on with your restaurant, and maybe we're going to see the Palace Hotel open up again too.
I sure hope so. The more the merrier. Yeah. You know, I've had a lot of the guests just really excited. They've been waiting for this restaurant for a long, long time. We've been working on it for several years, mm-hmm. and it's finally built and open, and all the local community has been extremely supportive, and they're very happy to see us there, and we're happy to be there.
When did Wild Fox, in Nevada, when did Wild Fox open?
You know, funny enough, it opened up at the same time 10 years ago.
It's been 10 years. I was going to guess about 10 years.
Yeah, it's 10 years ago we built it, and we're going to be celebrating, probably having a big celebration in March, 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that you specialize in meat, could you elaborate?
Well, we specialize in comfort food, obviously, but mm-hmm. meats is one of the things that we do really well. We mm-hmm. cook all our steaks over mesquite grill. We also have a wood burning oven, so kind of back to home cooking is kind of our theme. We have a butcher shop that we've added to the restaurant.
Right, I thought that was really interesting. So, and that's something where people can purchase things retail.
Exactly, I think that's one of the things that's missing nowadays is the local butcher shop. You know, mm-hmm. we have the big grocery chains and. The personal touch has been taken out of buying meat, where people can just pick up the phone, call your local butcher, mm-hmm. talk to Joe the butcher, and be able to, you know, custom order things. So we kind of brought that back at Branches.
That's great. You know, a guest who was on Mouthful about, hasn't been that long ago, and maybe Lawrence will even remember exactly when, but we had Marisa Gugiana. I don't know if you know Marisa. She was president, founding president, really, of Sonoma Direct, which brought together restaurateurs and, to some degree, retail with local ranches in Sonoma County. And they distributed, they broke down animals and, you know, got, if you wanted a whole lamb or if you wanted lamb, whatever cut, they provide it, and they still do provide it to local ranches. And she wrote a book, or to local restaurants, she wrote a book called Primal Cuts, Cooking with America's Top Butchers. And it has so far came out, I think, in October, and so far it's been on the New York Times and the LA Times Best 10 Book Cookbooks of the Year. So, and I mean, she's writing about people who are butchers all over the country. So I think that there is this increased interest in having that local butcher and somebody who really knows what it means to break down an animal. So I think it's great you're doing that.
Well, I think that, you know, people like to personally connect with their local vendors and with their local butcher shop. We are currently in the process of working with a lot of local vendors. Mendocino County, especially, and Sonoma County are very locally orientated to doing business with local farms mm-hmm. and growers, and we're going to be doing the same thing. We are currently now doing that, but we're going to expand it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so we do offer some local product, so mm-hmm. we're really excited about that.
So when you know, as somebody who's obviously selling a lot of meat, what do you look for when you're purchasing the meat you're going to serve in your restaurant?
Well, we are very breed specific, so we really want to be able to make sure that we only get our beef from a certain type of cattle and a certain growers. Right now, most of our beef is coming out. It's grown specifically for us out of a ranch in Montana. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, we try to use either a Hartford, an Angus, or a Shorthorn cattle. And we've partnered up with the ranch to make sure that we can get very specific feeding schedule. And the aging process is very important to us.
Uh-huh. Now, and do you age yourself or do you have?
We do both. We have it aged a certain amount when it comes in the door. And then we go ahead and age it another 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the cut of meat. And the way we inspect the meat, the marbleization on the meat, how we grade the meat when it comes in the back door. It's important that you know who you're doing business with. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're real picky about.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the issue we hear constantly these days about grass-fed and the importance of grass-fed? Where do you fall in that?
Well, you know, everyone is, it's very specific. Some people really are grass-fed. Some people really like corn-fed. Mm-hmm. I kind of like a combination of both, depending what cut of meat mm-hmm. And how they're raised and what the feed is. Just because something is grass-fed or corn-fed could still vary from cattle to cattle, depending on how you, what the feeding schedules are, the grade of feed that they get, how long they're out feeding. So for us, we're not, we like both. So we're going, I know that up in Mendocino, we're getting a lot of grass fed beef. Our ranch out of Montana does provide us with a lot of corn fed beef. So we tend to do a little bit of both.
Now, is beef the most popular meat at the restaurant, at Branches?
You know what it is? Beef is definitely still kind of the leader of all the meats, but we sell a lot of pork. In Mendocino, we're finding that a lot of people are very apt to some of the wild game. You know, we're selling a lot of venison. We do a wonderful venison osobuco with wonderful locally grown root vegetables. And we serve them with caramelized leek mashed potatoes and a cherry demi-glaze. And that's probably one of our best sellers.
Okay. What about wild boar, too?
We serve a wild boar chili.
And, oh, okay. That's a great use for wild boar.
And as a matter of fact, I left the restaurant to come up here, and I couldn't believe that. I just made it yesterday. I made like 10 gallons yesterday, and we were completely out today.
That's a lot, that's a lot of wild boar chili.
It's a lot of chili.
What about lamb? How does lamb do?
Lamb is one of those things that it's a kind of a hit and miss thing.
Really?
You know, we during around this time we sell a lot of lamb the holidays, and you know, Branches as well. Wild Fox is kind of a cornucopia of food, especially around the holidays. So we do provide a lot of different cuts of meat. Lamb definitely is most popular around the holiday season.
Well, interesting. You know, I was very surprised. One of the things I did learn from Marisa that lamb is very location specific. There are parts of the country where you do not see lamb.
It's very, very true. As a matter of fact, we did a lamb cutting, which is when we bring in a lot of different lambs from different places, and we bought Australian lamb and then local lamb and Colorado lamb, and we tried all these different lambs, and it was very interesting how it varied from breed to breed and area to area.
Yeah. And I know my younger daughter lives in Mississippi, and she was raised here, and she loves lamb. She cannot buy lamb. You cannot find it in Mississippi. And apparently that's really true throughout the South. Lamb is just not something that they eat there.
Well, you know, it's funny enough, one of the things that we've always advocated is that we do through our website that will be up running shortly as far as being able to order online our shopping cart. You'll be able to order from all over the country, and we'll be able to ship you out. Meaning we've already had a lot of inquiries about that because people have heard that we're going to be doing that for specifically what you're saying, that you just can't get certain cuts of meat in certain parts of the state. So we'll be able to, you know, ship it overnight to you.
And, that's great to know.
Absolutely. And the restaurant, we currently sell a lamb shank. And it's a braised lamb shank, and we literally cannot keep it. I'm having problems doing business with local vendors because they can't keep up with the production that we need.
So you have a really big, you must have a, how many seats?
It's a big restaurant, Michelle. We have right now currently about 350 seats.
Wow. And now where in Ukiah?
We're right in off 101.
Okay.
Right across from the Walmart there. It's right off 101.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the restaurant is fairly large.
And those are not, obviously, if you're selling that much chili in about a day, you've got the customer base.
You know, I think people are just very happy that I think we provide a little bit of everything for everyone, which is not normally what we try to do. Normally we try to be very specific, but in spending some time up in Ukiah wine tasting and with my wife and kids camping up in Mendocino, we started to notice that there was a couple of different gaps that needed to be filled. And one of them was definitely having your local butcher shop. The other one was to have, you know, a nice kind of upscale sports bar where people can go and enjoy watching some sports. And so the facility just slowly got bigger and bigger and bigger. And like I said, between the bakery, the butcher shop, and
so you have a bakery as well.
We do. We have a full-scale bakery. It's full service. We have everything from a pastry shop to all kinds of homemade breads, organic breads, wheat breads, and we keep on expanding our line, and pretty soon we'll be able to be at capacity and be able to start selling breads to other restaurants if they like.
Wow. Now, where do you live?
I live in Santa Rosa currently.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I used to live in Novato. My wife and I moved up to Santa Rosa with our children. We have three girls. And so we moved up there about 4 years ago almost. Uh-huh. And we knew this restaurant was going to be happening. So we kind of wanted to be about an hour from each restaurant.
Yeah, so you're sort of halfway between the two.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So it works really well for us. You know, it's a beautiful commute up there, too. I mean, we love driving up there.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. And so far, there's not a whole lot of bad traffic.
No, the traffic is actually pretty. That's probably one of the best things about the drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are talking about branches in Ukiah. My guest is Munther Masarwe. We will be right back here on KRCB. Listening to Mouthful, I'm Michelle Anna Jordan, and really, if you know me, you know that there's no way I could resist playing Bare Trees when we're talking about a restaurant named Branches. Just too much of a great possibility there. So it's Munther Masarwe. We're talking about Branches, which is not only a restaurant, it is also a bakery and a butcher shop. And what is the name of the sports bar? Branches?
It's Branches, okay, so Irish Sports Pub.
Okay. What I want to do now is back up a little bit. So you opened Wild Fox in Novato 10 years ago. And let's talk a little bit about your background before that. I know you've cooked throughout the Bay Area.
Well, I've cooked throughout the Bay Area. I started working at several restaurants in the Bay Area at a very, very young age.
Which ones? Any we would recognize?
Probably Perry's Restaurant.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Perry's. And we had Perry's on for their anniversary.
Yeah, exactly, on Union Street. And I got my first taste of restaurants and kind of fell in love and got it into my DNA then. And then I stayed with the company for, almost 12 years. And at that point decided that it was time to expand on my culinary knowledge. So I went ahead and went to culinary school, worked at other local restaurants.
Which school did you go to?
The Culinary Institute in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And then I then got a job working as a chef at McCormick and Coletto's in San Francisco, mm-hmm. which used to be the old Maxwell Plums. Mm-hmm. Probably the best view in the city of for a diner. Uh-huh. And from then I got recruited to go work for Let Us Entertain You in Chicago. And I got offered the executive chef job, at the Pump Room. Uh-huh. And who has a wonderful, wonderful history. They've been there for, my God, Frank Sinatra used to live there. So it was a wonderful experience, and that's probably my claim to fame where I got most of my experience uh-huh. working with Rich Melman. He kind of personally took me under his wing and made sure that I was well-groomed to go out and do my own place and was very supportive. And to this day, he's my mentor. He's mm-hmm. An extremely successful, probably the most successful restaurateur in the country, if not the world. And mm-hmm. I'm able to, pick up the phone and give him a call and kind of get his 2 cents. And so it's mm-hmm. a very humbling experience. And then decided in 1997 it was time to come back to the Bay Area.
How long were you in Chicago?
Oh, God, about 5 years.
Uh-huh. And did you like it?
I loved it. Like I said, the weather is very extreme.
Yes. And when they call it the Windy City, they are so right.
It really is.
It is windy. It just whips through it like it's a wind tunnel.
Oh, yeah. It gets to the, 100 below. So it's I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And obviously, being from California, I wasn't used to it. But the architecture is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I just, I fell in love with Chicago and really loved my time there. And then I was up for a partnership with the company and just decided that I wanted to come back up here and kind of follow and Rich Melman's footsteps and kind of do a little bit of what he's done back there. And he's helped me do my first business plan and come out here and get started. So very grateful to him for that.
And that was Wild Fox, your first independent venture?
No, actually, there was a couple restaurants before. I opened up 10 Pan Asian Bistro in the Castro in San Francisco.
Okay.
And it was kind of a hit from day one. And it's a very small 60-seat restaurant.
10 Pan?
10 Pan Asian Bistro. It was kind of Pan Asian. And we were there. We opened up in September, I believe, of 97. And I came back in February and September. We were open and had a wonderful run then, and then decided to move to the North Bay and open up Wild Fox. And we built Wild Fox from the ground up and opened up in November of 2000, I believe.
And now, both of these restaurants, Branches and Wild Fox, are you open for dinner only or lunch, dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner?
We do lunch and dinner, and then we do a Saturday and Sunday brunch. We also do a tremendous amount of catering and to go. It's a type of food where people just kind of crave it all the time.
So you must have a huge staff.
You know what? We have about 50 people at Wild Fox, and we have about 75 staff members at Branches.
That's pretty big.
That is pretty big for a restaurant. And so they're large operations. And I think people are looking to eat now more simply than before. You know, kind of they say comfort food and Italian and Asian were here before we were here and will be here after we leave.
Yes.
And so that's kind of, you know, what Wild Fox specializes in.
And, you know, you've talked about the meat dishes. What are some of the other things that we find on the menus?
Well, what you'll find on the menu is a lot of seafood.
We're
really into getting all natural seafood. You know, things that haven't been soaked in chemicals.
And not farmed. Wild
as much as possible. That's becoming tougher and tougher to do, so you have to really outsource some of the some of your vendors and make sure that they're credible. But it's just getting tougher and tougher. We're overfishing our oceans, and and I think people are a lot more conscious of what they're putting in their bodies. Same thing with the vegetables. We're now developing vegetarian menus for both restaurants. So we've always had a couple of things on the menu, but I think we're really moving towards implementing actual section on the menu, vegetarian section.
You get a lot of demand.
Absolutely. We get a lot of demand, and it's something that we want to make sure that when we put out that menu that it's done right and that we have a lot of thought and input into it. So we're going to hopefully in the next couple months be rolling out those menus. And then for the holidays, we obviously specialize in doing Christmas menus, Christmas packages for people.
What are some of the things you like to put on your Christmas menu?
Well, you know, for like New Year's Eve, like I said, we talked about doing some wonderful lamb dishes. People always are, I think, are looking to eat something traditional but with a little twist on it. So lamb is definitely one of the things that we put on all the menus during the holiday season.
Do you ever do roast beef with Yorkshire pudding?
You know, I don't, but Debbie Conan, who is our executive pastry chef.
Yes, she was going to be here tonight and couldn't make it.
She couldn't make it tonight. She's our executive pastry chef up at Branches, and she's also my partner down at Wild Fox in Novato. And she actually, I hired her to be my executive pastry chef at the Pump Room in Chicago. And she,
So she's been with you a long time.
Well, yes, her talents are pretty extreme. She very rapidly became the corporate pastry chef for the company, and Rich Milmer kind of took her from me and made her the corporate pastry chef. But then she decided to come out here with me and open up some restaurants, and we've had great success, and she is really talented, and I recommend you definitely try her pastries. As a matter of fact, she sent me with some goodies for you.
That's right, yes. There's a box and a bag sitting right here in the studio. But so you brought her up when I mentioned Yorkshire pudding. Is that something she's...
Well, she's originally from England.
Oh, okay.
And she's from the north of England, and she definitely likes to do some home cooking once in a while and kind of go back to her grassroots. So she makes a mean Yorkshire pudding.
Yes, that's something I'm always on the lookout for, because I make it at home, but every now and then I wish that I could have it out somewhere as well.
It is nice to try things that you like to have other people make them.
Sure. We're going to take another little musical break here, and we'll be right back with more talk about Branches and Wild Fox.
Thank you.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. It's just 7:30 here on KRCB. Thanks for sticking with us. We are talking about Branches, Woodfire Chop House in Ukiah. We're also talking a bit about Wild Fox in Novato with owner of both restaurants, Munther Masarwe. And now, thanks to the publicist from Ellipsis Public Relations, Diana Gill Osorio, she has brought all of the things I should have brought to the studio with me, but did not. The menus, the wine list, even things about the bakery. And just looking at this at the bakery menu, they have mini cupcakes, red velvet cupcakes. You know, if you can find a good red velvet cupcake, it's a good day. And I'm not even much into sweets, but red velvet cupcakes are it. And then breads, some really interesting breads here, traditional ones, focaccia, brioche, that sort of thing. But cheddar cheese, cornbread, poppy seed hamburger buns, honey wheat bread, jalapeno cheddar bread, fruit tarts, croissants, both traditional and things like jalapeno and cheddar croissants, pies, brownies, sauces, butterscotch sauce. Ice cream and sorbet are available by the pint. So all kinds of things. This is a huge operation.
It really is. And like I said, we make everything homemade. So it's a 24-hour operation.
Okay, so you never close.
Well, the bakery opens up at 7 in the morning, mm-hmm. but the bakers work throughout the night. Yes.
Sure. Of course, you would have to.
Especially this time of year, we have so many orders for specialty cakes and holiday breads and cakes. So, the bakers are not getting much sleep.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, one thing you have here that I think is really interesting, and I can't say that I've ever actually seen it on a menu before, and that is the temperature guide.
Well, you know what? I think that one of the biggest misconceptions in steakhouses and restaurants in general is what is medium rare and what is mm-hmm. rare and what is well done. So we decided to put a temperature charge to kind of let the guests know what our idea of a medium rare is. Mm-hmm. And it really helps them envision what, and we do it by color. So if it's going to be medium rare, it's, you know, rare in the middle and pink on the outside. And then they know exactly what they're getting, especially because we do use thick cuts of meats. And all our steaks are custom cut to order. So when you order your steak, you're able to choose whatever size you want. And the butcher will hand carve every single piece of meat.
Wow. So you have very rare, rare, medium well. Well done, and then black and blue, charred on the outside, raw in the middle. Is it possible to say, or is there any one designation that's the most popular?
I would probably say medium rare is kind of a happy medium. That's uh-huh. The bulk of our steaks are all cooked medium rare, which is the way we kind of prefer it. I mean, we'll cook it obviously any way you want, but the more cooked, the less... the more fat you burn off the enzymes in the meat and the less flavor you get out of the meat. But medium rare is what we recommend, mm-hmm. and that's what we find guests like the most.
Uh-huh. So I know some restaurants will tell you if you order medium well or well, that they'll. I have seen printed on menus, we will not guarantee the quality of something cooked to medium well or well.
I think that people, when they're ordering medium wells, my wife is one of them. She's a medium well eater. So when they order it medium well, they know what they're getting, and mm-hmm. And they're kind of accustomed to that. But there's no reason why you can't have a medium well steak that's not burnt. And it's incredibly tasty.
It's still
and
tender?
And juicy, absolutely. And it's just a slow cooking process. You know, we let our guests know when they order some of our custom cuts. If it's a thicker cut, it's going to take 30 minutes to cook that.
Uh-huh.
That way they're...
So how do you cook it to keep it still juicy?
Well, we sear off our meat we cook it over mesquite at about 1,700 degrees. We sear off the meat to protect all the juices and mm-hmm. don't let them bleed out. And then we let the steak sit for about 15 or 20 minutes. And let it rest mm-hmm. and break down the fat enzymes inside the meat. And then we bring it back up to temperature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the difference is instead of having, say, a medium rare where it's rare, raw in the middle, mm-hmm. and cooked down, that's one beautiful red throughout the whole meat.
Uh-huh.
And it also makes the meat a lot more tender.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I know that I also think, well, at the same time, there are restaurants who will do that and tell you that, you know, we don't guarantee the quality. There are also other restaurants who really cop an attitude if you want something rare.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people have a misconception about meat. I guess if you have a good source of meat, you shouldn't worry about eating rare. Some people do. Some restaurants, some of the bigger chain restaurants will not cook your meat rare. They refuse to. They won't do it.
Yeah, I've liked it rare since my whole life. And I know one time on my birthday, place I wanted to go for lunch was closed. And we ended up out on the coast somewhere. And I ordered a rare burger. And I was told that it was illegal. It's like, no, it's not. But if that's how the chef feels about your meat, I think I'll choose something else. But my whole life, I've had people, and mostly at big restaurants, just cop an attitude, like curl their lip or act like it's disgusting if you want something rare.
Yeah, I know that. And I'm a very, very rare guy. Yeah, so I like my meat very rare. But like I said, everyone has different tastes. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know how you could make well done still be good. So
you
that's
just
really
gotta cook slowly and don't overcook it. As a matter of fact, our burgers were kind of known for our burgers because we do not squeeze our burgers. They're incredibly juicy and they're all patty to order.
You grind your meat there.
We grind our own beef and we hand patty every single one, and we don't squeeze the juice out of them. So even when people get it well done, as a matter of fact, one of the managers came to me yesterday and said, "We had a kid today that ordered a kid's burger, and when he bit into it, it was so juicy it squirted his shirt." And so we had to buy them dessert because...
Really?
Yeah, I think that it scared the kid. I think he's used to eating burgers that are very dry, you know, especially when it's a kid. A lot of people think, oh, they're kids, just give them whatever. You know, just cook them the burger well done. But
yeah, they tried that with me when I was a little kid. It didn't work.
Well, I'm one of them. I'm with you.
Yeah. So, that's really interesting. What cut of meat do you use for your burgers?
You know, we use the chuck.
Chuck, okay.
And we also mix it in with a little bit of filet for leanness. The filet is extremely lean. You need some fat. And we use about a 15 to 17% fat content in all our burgers.
15 to 17.
Yeah, you need a little bit of fat.
Yeah, you definitely need fat or it's dry.
Absolutely. And then, you know, my personal favorite is always the ribeye. So
absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had anything better when it comes to beef. A great ribeye.
A great ribeye will make your evening.
Absolutely.
That and a nice bottle of wine in good company.
Yeah. Now, what sort of wine do you prefer with a cut like that?
You know, I'm a little bit biased. I love wine all the way around, but I'm definitely a red guy. Cabernets, big, bold, chewy Cabernets is what I like to eat. But I'm a straight meat and potato guy. Uh-huh. And, you know, our wine list... has been developed very carefully. We have about 260 wines.
As I say, it's a pretty extensive wine list.
And on our wine list, most of our wines are extremely affordable. Where we really based our wines on local product first. There's so many. That's what attracted me to Mendocino County originally. Mm-hmm. I love tasting wines. Just so many wonderful wineries up in Mendocino. So we've really teamed up with a lot of wineries, and they're featured on our menu.
I see a lot of familiar names, both and Mendocino, Napa, and Sonoma.
Right. Yeah, we definitely have, like I said, a little bit of everything. Our concentration is definitely on local Mendocino wines. And if you bring in a Mendocino wine, there is no corkage fee. So we do not charge you. Yeah, we're real local friendly that way.
Now, how does the wine list at Branches differ from the wine list at Wild Fox?
Well, I think the Branches list is a lot larger than Wild Fox, and we are looking at, like I said, the menus are almost identical. They're not quite, and I think we need to keep it that way. They're all individual restaurants with different personalities and different crowds. Mm-hmm. I'd say we probably have a lot more Napa Sonoma on the list at Wild Fox, and and like I said, our list is a lot larger at Branches. So you'll probably be seeing by March a lot more of the Mendocino wines on our list at Wild Fox.
Okay. Now I just noticed something else on the bakery menu. Dulce de leche brownies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, Debbie is definitely... into her pastries, and they're very decadent. You can't walk up to the counter and just buy one thing. Mm-hmm. And you end up just, you know, getting an array of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things she's really good at, she always has something on the counter for you to try.
Try, yes.
And so she always has samples for everyone. Yeah. And I try not to go to the bakery too much.
I had a friend very recently say that she had this idea. She wanted to make brownies and then frost them with dulce de leche. Yeah. And I thought, oh my God, you're out of your mind. And here it is.
Yeah, she definitely goes across the board and it's just talented doing an array of things. Her breads are phenomenal. Her desserts, her homemade ice cream is just to die for. We can't make ice cream enough. As a matter of fact, we were talking today about getting a larger ice cream machine.
Wow.
Because you can't keep up.
Uh-huh. Really interesting. What an amazingly huge operation. So you have some things that Debbie sent. Do you think you should open that box and talk to us about them?
Yeah, she did. She sent a whole array of things. She sent a whole bag of things for you. She felt bad she couldn't be here today, but she had a commitment at her daughter's school, so that was real important.
Kids come first.
Absolutely. The family always comes first. But I know that she sent some...
Okay, we have in here. I know that she's... Okay, there's biscotti.
She has some biscotti. She has some apricot jam thumbprints.
This looks like it might even be salt brownie.
It is. It's like a chocolate salt cookie. It's amazing. Mm.
I'm so pleased that people are starting to put salt on chocolate.
You know,
it changes everything.
You wouldn't think it goes, but that's she puts out at the counters. People try them, and then they'll just buy a whole bag of them.
Yeah. I've never been much of a chocolate person, but I had some salted chocolate not long ago, and it changed everything. It's really quite good. Now, these look like macaroons, maybe?
She has apricot thumbprint macaroons.
Oh, yeah, apricot macaroons. There it is.
And she has peanut butter brittle with milk chocolate.
Would you like something, Lawrence?
I think I need a macaroon.
Oh, okay. The one thing I have to untie and get into the bag.
Yeah.
But we'll do that for you, Lawrence, because we want you to stay around. There you go.
No, she also sent over some...
panettone?
Yeah, some. It's a kind of Italian Christmas bread.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
And so she sent that over, too. She also has some bourbon caramel pecan sauce that she sent over.
Oh, my goodness.
That she made this morning. And she's every day she's covered in chocolate in that kitchen. You know what's really wonderful about Branch is if you go in, there's a big display window, so the kitchen is wide open right as you walk in the restaurant. So it's very kind of interesting to watch the bakers and the pastry chefs do all their chocolate work. And
you can see it.
We have crowds of people at the front all the time just sitting there watching them make their thing. So it's incredible.
Now, how far is Branches, say, from that down the main street downtown?
From downtown Main Street, it's probably 3 minutes.
Okay, driving.
Driving, yeah. Okay. It's right there. We're right off 101, right off Airport Park Boulevard, right off the highway.
Okay. So I'm just wondering who you think most of your clientele is. Locals? Mostly locals, mostly tourists, a real mix?
I'd say 95% locals.
Locals, okay.
Yeah, 95% locals. And like I said, we haven't done a ton of advertising. And we wanted to do that. We wanted to make sure we can walk before we crawl. And as it is, we're pretty overwhelmed right now.
So you've only been open, four or five weeks?
4 or 5 weeks. And, it's...
And you got to leave on a Sunday night?
You know, I barely made it here. It's been overwhelming. We're just incredibly busy right now. Like I said, people have been watching the restaurant and the construction because we built it from the ground up.
Oh, you did?
So it's been a long time coming. And
when did you start construction?
We started about a year and a half ago, but we started the project 4 years ago. So even longer than that. So people have known about the restaurant. The whole community has known about the restaurant for a long time.
So people have been really eager.
Well, one of the things we did is we did a little local survey. We wanted to kind of make sure we were building this restaurant primarily for the local community. So we really reached out to find out what they wanted to see. And based on the survey that we took, we decided to build this restaurant. And so it took a couple of years to kind of gather all that information, make sure we were doing the right decision, especially opening something of this magnitude.
It's really huge in
Ukiah. But we're finding that we get everyone down from Willits and Lake County and Healdsburg and Windsor, even a lot of people from Santa Rosa come up.
Really,
it's very different. I mean, if you were to walk in, you really I think get surprised. We have incredible 38-foot ceilings with huge beams. You know, it's kind of that lodge-like feel. Uh-huh. We have two fireplaces. People really enjoy their time there. We have a beautiful big lounge, an array. We have a big tequila bar. We have almost 80 different tequilas, 70 different vodkas. Uh-huh. So it's definitely an evening out. And the best thing about it is that you can do it a couple times a week because it's extremely affordable.
Now, if you are... say, leaving from Santa Rosa, you do this all the time because you live in Santa Rosa now. How long is it from, say, central Santa Rosa to the restaurant?
About 45 minutes.
That's all.
It's
okay.
Not, yeah, depending on traffic, 45 minutes, uh-huh. You know, 50, 55 minutes max.
Mm-hmm.
And so the drive isn't that bad. And like I said, it's such a beautiful drive. You forget mm-hmm. that you're even driving up there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's really not any different than going to the city, except less traffic.
Less traffic. That's that's a major thing, especially in the morning. You just hit no traffic.
Yeah, if you go. Oh, yeah. If you go up during the day, sure.
Yeah, because you're headed north
at all.
Right. And then we're finding out that you know, we have several hotels around us, which we will be doing room service for in the next couple of months.
Now, hotels that are open or that are
opening?
They're
open. There's a Hampton Inn and a Comfort Inn. You know, Kitty Corner does, and one next to Hampton Inn is next door. And we're going to be doing room service for them. But what we're finding.
You are?
Yes, we're definitely going to be doing room service. And so we've found that a lot of travelers are just so excited. They've been coming to Ukiah for business for years, and now they're excited that there's somewhere that they can go and relax. You know, in our Irish sports pub is open till 2 in the morning every day, mm-hmm. and we serve food till 1:30, which no one does.
No one does that.
No one does that. So we're already...
That's good to know.
Yeah, we've gotten a really good response on that, and people are really excited. You know, people traveling through mm-hmm. now know that they get stopped by and grab, you know, a homemade cooked meal.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the locals like the fact that there's something open that late.
And do you get locals coming in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because that is something, that is a huge challenge for Sonoma County.
It is, but like I said, we've made it, we've really custom made this restaurant.
That's great.
For the locals, so they really appreciate the fact that it's comfortable. It's not pricey.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people walk in every single day and go, wow, the place looks so nice, and the prices are so low. Mm-hmm. So, and we know that's a local community, and we built it for mm-hmm. them. So,
now with 350 seats, in addition to the Irish sports bar, the bakery, the butcher shop, and now providing room service to a couple of hotels, what are the particular challenges that you face at maintaining quality?
I think labor is definitely a big one, because it requires a lot of labor.
Sure.
There's a lot of moving parts mm-hmm. in a restaurant, so for all departments to work together. And so it takes a lot of coordination. We have incredibly well-trained managers that have been with us for a while now and are incredibly committed. And so putting together all the working pieces and the people to be able to do this is quite an undertaking. We hired over 238 people to open up the restaurant. So it took quite a bit of people to get the thing open, and now we're slowly kind of getting down to what we need. But it's been a lot of training and a lot of hard work.
Uh-huh. And how many managers are there? So are you the general manager or the
right now I'm the general manager. Eventually we will have a general manager. Right now I'm also the executive chef, but we do mm-hmm. have three head chefs that work mm-hmm. there, plus Debbie, who runs the bakery,
mm-hmm.
and then
what about the butcher? Who is the head butcher?
And Abraham is his name. He's the head mm-hmm. butcher, and he has got over 24 years of experience with meats, and mm-hmm. so he's incredibly helpful. He's been a saving grace. He really he just uh-huh. kind of took charge of the whole butcher shop.
Uh-huh.
And then we have four or five managers. You know, we have a bar manager that has a tremendous amount of responsibility. My wife, Deirdre, is in charge of the Irish Sports Bar. It was originally her concept uh-huh. to do the Irish Sports Bar. So she's kind of heading that up. And then we have three dining room managers. So uh-huh. We have a good team of people.
Yeah. Now, in those 350 seats, is it one large room? Do you have a variety of rooms?
We have a secondary room. It's a private dining room.
Uh-huh.
It is kind of open to the main dining room, but we can make it 100% private with uh-huh. a fireplace. And we also have a chef's table. Where you can come in and for up to parties of 15, and I'll come out there and I'll cook at your table all night in the fireplace.
Really?
Yeah, it's very neat to do for special occasions.
Uh-huh.
But we seat up to 75 people in that room.
Uh-huh.
And so we're like, for Christmas, we don't have one day available. The room is completely booked for private parties. And you can also go in there and do PowerPoint presentations and just use it as general meeting space.
Uh-huh. Wow. So you are just rocking Ukiah.
Well, we're trying, that's uh-huh. for sure. Well, like I said, we've gotten a lot of local support.
Yeah, I mean, to be booked that solidly with and you're only starting your second month in business. That's quite remarkable.
Yeah, in this economy right now. Yeah. Like I said, one of the main things is we knew going into it in this economy is that it had to be affordable if we were going to do this. Yeah. And we've gotten a lot of local support, and we're very involved in the community and local schools, and local officials have been incredibly helpful in getting our permits and helping us get open. And now we see...
They just really wanted you to open.
Yeah, and they're regular guests now. We see them in there every day. So it's a real tight community.
That's great. Didn't have a lot of roadblocks put in your way.
No, they were very helpful, thank God.
And then how often do you get down to Wild Fox now? Or is that running so smoothly that you don't have to spend a lot of time
there? No, you know, Wild Fox is, how they say, your first love. So I'm there 3 days a week.
Oh, okay.
And I spend three up at Branches, so I kind of split my time in between both.
Do you get to spend much time with your daughters?
You know, the last month and a half, I haven't. Since the restaurant opened, I haven't. As a matter of fact, they're kind of excited that I'm going to be home kind of early tonight.
How old are they?
I have a four-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old daughter, then I have a 13-year-old stepdaughter.
Okay.
So we have little Julia, Charlotte, and Jacqueline. Yeah, so I really miss them. You know, I haven't seen them in, God, like a month and a half. I mean, my wife comes up and they stay in the hotel, and I get to see them here and there, but I really haven't spent any quality time with them around the holidays. It's really tough. So I'm excited to be home tonight.
Yeah, well, that's good. So coming to Mouthful was a benefit to you and the family.
Absolutely.
That just got you out of the restaurant early. Well, let's tell people some of the details. An hour goes fast in Mouthful. We've got about 5 minutes left, 5 or 6 minutes left. What about websites? Do you have a website for Wild Fox?
Yeah, wildfoxrestaurant.com.
Okay, wildfoxrestaurant.com.
Right, .com. And then we have branchesrestaurant.com in Ukiah. So like I said, our website at Branches is developing every day. It's getting bigger. We're adding our shopping cart to it.
So people, you can go. Can you buy baked goods as well as
you can buy baked goods? We'll ship them to you. Like I said, I think nowadays everyone's gearing up more towards doing a lot of shopping online. So it's nothing that we've had in the past, but definitely we're developing those sites now, and both sites should be up and running here shortly in the next couple weeks or so we're pretty excited about that.
And then what is the address for Branches?
Branches, 1180 Airport Park Boulevard in Ukiah.
So 1180 Airport Park Boulevard?
That's correct.
In Ukiah. How about the phone number?
It's 707-468-5400.
Okay, that's 707-468-5400. And Novato, that would be area code 415.
415, and that'll be 883.
883.
9125. And we're at 225 Alameda del Prado.
225 Alameda del Prado. I think I was there right when you first opened, or not long after you first opened. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. Wow, how time goes by really fast. It's been 10 years.
Yeah, that was back when I was still reviewing restaurants for the San Francisco Chronicle. I quit a number of years ago. But
well, and that's another, like I said, locally based restaurant. And we've just been so fortunate. Everyone has supported us for 10 years. We've had a great 10 years. We have nothing to complain about.
Yeah. Hey, so I'm going to call Lawrence in and say, Lawrence, what have I forgotten? What have I forgotten to ask?
Did you say branches.com? I see it's branchesrestaurant.com.
I'm sorry, did I say it?
I think you said branches restaurant.
Well, then we're cool.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
What have I forgotten to ask?
You do it all, Michelle. I don't know.
Oh.
You forgot to ask me if I'd like another macaroon.
Would you like another macaroon? or would you like something else? Now, what is that? Oh. Okay, that looks like
is
a macaroon.
Is that not also a macaroon?
That looks like a macaroon.
That is our coconut apricot macaroon.
Very exciting.
Yeah, she put her heart. I said there's a whole cornucopia of desserts in there.
So the way to your heart is a macaroon.
My mother makes incredible macaroons.
How do these compare?
Well, yes,
your mama's not listening.
She might be listening. No, she might.
Oh, really?
It's entirely possible.
So they're nowhere near as good as your mama's.
Well, I didn't say that, did I? I just say she might be listening. They're great. These are really good.
Yeah, and everything's really beautiful. It smells really good. What is this? This is... It's some sort of cookie sandwich.
It's like a peanut butter cookie sandwich.
Wow.
And the outside is like a shortbread.
Okay.
And then she fills it with
like a peanut butter cream,
exactly
it looks like.
Exactly what it is, yes. That and a big glass of milk, and that's what you have before you go to bed.
That's what you're going to be doing, yeah. Serving for room service.
Exactly.
At the hotels. In fact, there's a restaurant, not a restaurant, there's a hotel in New Orleans, Papillon. And every night, I think at 9 o'clock, 8 or 9, probably 9 o'clock since it's New Orleans, they put out pitchers of milk and cookies hot out of the oven.
Oh,
for their guests, just complimentary for their guests, and people love it.
They really do. We're doing that at Branches for Christmas. We'll have a hot chocolate and cookies for kids to come by, and I believe we're doing that the week of Christmas. So definitely come by and have one.
Well, that's a great thing. I will, you know, I love the drive up to Ukiah. I don't make it that often, partly because I'm so busy here, and I don't necessarily want to have dinner and then drive back.
Well, you know, we have...
You have to stay.
You have to stay. We have definitely partnered up with the hotel next door. So if you can call and inquire, we'll be doing special rates, especially for New Year's Eve. We're going to have a whole package so people can come up and then have that experience and not have to worry
about
driving
back.
That's
a great idea. Listen, congratulations on your early success.
So thank you.
Best wishes for things just going really smoothly on into the new year.
Well, thank you, and we hope to see you guys up there.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be on
Mouthful. Oh, thanks for having me anytime.
Now, next week, coming up on Mouthful, I'm really excited about our guests. We're going to have John Harris, who happened to be my very first editor when he put me in my first books. He's the author of The Book of Garlic, and he's also the author of the brand new Food Doodles, a remarkably entertaining little book that he will be talking about. Also with him is Victoria Wise, she's one of the early people in the whole gourmet ghetto culinary revolution of Berkeley. And that's one of the things that we will be talking about. What was the gourmet revolution in Berkeley before anybody had heard of Chez Panisse? John and I will also be talking about the lunch that we had at the French Laundry about a week ago. So don't miss next Sunday night's episode of Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. In the meantime, have a great week. I'm Shalana Jordan. See you then.
To the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat. We've got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said.
Mouthful is hosted and produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast at krcb.org or from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too.